This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Welcome to Connect with Community Waikato on Free FM 89.0. You've got the full Monty from Community Waikato in the show. In the studio today, we've got myself, Holly, we've got Roseanne, and we've got Karen today. Welcome.
Morena.
Morena.
Awesome to have you guys here today. We thought this is a great opportunity to talk about, I suppose, those moments where we have challenging moments, challenging situations, and we need to use tools and techniques to help navigate those spaces. And they happen in our personal lives, they happen in our work lives, you know, everywhere we are. And there are some pretty fundamental tools that can be helpful in times like that. Karen is a bit of a guru in this space, actually, and she's pulling a face at me. But to be fair, she actually is. She knows this stuff really well. She runs a couple of different types of programs through Community Waikato, often working with teams, organisations that work directly with the public, and often in situations where people are quite stressed and they have mounting issues, or they might have addiction issues, or, you know, various other things that might contribute to changes in their behaviour. But I think that the tools that we're going to talk about today and the mechanisms we might use apply right across the board when we're having to have conversations that can be a bit harder.
It's so true, because it also could be internally within your organisation.
Definitely.
You know, whether it's board to board, or whether it could be, you know, within the staff of an organisation as well. So, yeah,
yeah,
as well as what you've already alluded to is around, you know, teams that are having to be front-facing with the public.
Could be getting home and having your partner.
Absolutely.
Or your child. Yeah, or your child, your teenager.
I think any human interaction. And I guess at the moment, one of the things that we need to consider is it's a tough space that our organisations are operating in. And I think that we're seeing a lot of compassion fatigue.
Yeah, that's a really good term, eh?
Yeah, I think people are not necessarily burning out, but I think people are tired. And I think that the more pressure that's on organisations to do more with less, the greater the stress.
Yeah.
And the harder it is to maintain that compassion and to work with people in ways that are constructive.
We've had a number of years where the pressure hasn't really let off. You know, and so I think, yeah, we're seeing the culmination of, you know, like quite a long period of time with the additional pressures of some of the things happening, like in the funding environment, for example, you know, that exacerbates those issues, right?
So I think in the context of talking about difficult conversations, we have to understand that that's the space that people are coming from. So first and foremost, as organisations, how do we look after our people and make sure that they are in a good space to have those kinds of conversations, whether it's between themselves with the people that we serve, or whether it's even at home with their whānau.
And so what does that look like? You know, how do you get people in the right space to have some of those conversations?
I definitely think, and one of the things that I've been talking quite a bit more about recently in the Challenging Interactions workshops is about kind of emotional awareness. So I think one of the things that we sometimes don't do is focus in on, you know, it's our feelings that drive our thoughts and then that drives our behaviour. So giving people permission to be more transparent about what their feelings are about things, and being able to give names to feelings so that we can start to have empathy for others, I think is really important. We can dehumanise people or forget that aspect of people if we're under pressure.
And especially if we've left a conversation a bit late. Because, you know, there's a whole lot of winding up internally with emotions, right?
Absolutely. It's definitely a shared experience. So it's not, you know, my behaviour impacts on you or Roseanne, and Roseanne or your behaviour impacts on me. Like, we don't live in a vacuum. We live in an interactive space. So I think even when we leave things for a long time, a lot of emotional exchanges happened in the time leading up to when that conversation will occur.
Mm.
And some of us are inherently people pleasers.
Yeah.
So we're inherently don't like to fall out with other people. And sometimes we think having a frank or honest conversation is, it's almost like our tolerance is out of whack. So we think that we're being aggressive or confrontational when really we're just being open and direct. So if we've got a passive style of communication, then we don't necessarily have a tolerance to be direct with other people.
And I wonder if sometimes too we are a little too empathetic in that we know this conversation's going to be hard for that person to hear.
Yes.
And we don't want, you know, we don't want them to hurt. We don't want them to feel embarrassed or ashamed or, you know, whatever it is we think it might invoke in them. So sometimes our empathy, I think, becomes a little bit of a barrier to engaging in a conversation that will actually lead to a greater outcome long term.
And I think that's why we see some situations allowed to continue for quite a long time because of their empathy and that desire not to hurt someone. So we said, this is a really good person. Yes. I don't want this good person to feel bad, even though there is something that we need to deal with them.
And at times I think we sort of try to defend people, don't we, by going, oh, look, you know, we know that, you know, they're having some challenges at home.
Yes, yes.
Or, you know, they might be having some other challenges externally. And, you know, so it's sort of like we don't want to add an extra layer.
Absolutely.
Onto it.
And you know, in crisis development, if you think about like that being a increase in, so we're talking about escalating behaviour, what we see is a change in feelings and an increase in physiology. We're really good in our sector at dealing with people when they're at that very low level, that early kind of escalation where it's more anxiety that we see. And we're really good at being supportive. We're really good, I think, at doing those kinds of responses to people. It's when people are beyond that and they're becoming a bit defensive or they've become a bit belligerent or challenging that those empathy type strategies, those supportive strategies, they don't work. And it's not about us or our individual relationship. It's oftentimes about the dynamic of the person they're losing rationality, and so what we need to be able to do there is actually take control of the situation. And the only way you can do that, because I'm sure you both appreciate, you can't even make a small child do something that they don't to do, is that we can't force our will on people. So what we need to be able to do there is set boundaries and set limits around what's acceptable and what's not acceptable.
Karen, would you do that before the conversation? Like, do you have your boundaries in place already, or is it in a moment you go, okay, this is what I'm going to allow to happen and this is what I'm not going to allow to happen to me?
So, yes and yes, both.
Yeah, okay.
So I think one of the things that, you know, Captain James T. Kirk of the Starship Enterprise
once said... I was going to say Captain Cook, and I was going to say, it didn't work out well for him.
Kirk, not Cook. Yeah. Once famously said, the first step in avoiding a trap is knowing of its existence. So I think everything that we do leading up to how we set the culture and how we set our agreements and our expectations about the way that we're going to be together, whether it's with the people that we are serving in our organisation, whether it's with our children if we're parents, whether it's with our parents if we have elderly parents, that, you know, how is it that we're going to be? What is it that we're going to do? What are the boundaries? What do you expect? What do I expect? And we don't necessarily have to do that in a really let's sit down and have a heart-to-heart conversation. I think it can be done more casually and it's built into, like, what is our workplace culture? How are we with one another? Not the workplace culture we write in our policy, but the workplace culture that we enact every day in our actions with one another. And so it's always easier in a time of crisis to go back to something we've already agreed in a time of calm. Having said that, we can't predict every situation that might come about. So definitely in the moment, we might set some boundaries or set some limits. And they might be along the lines of, I need you to take a minute and, you know, just settle yourself, maybe go and have a cuppa and then we'll come back to this conversation. If you keep raising your voice at me,
yeah,
I'm actually going to walk away. I'm not having this conversation today.
Yeah.
So it's little things. It's not necessarily massive things. But limits are about choices and consequences. They're not about ultimatums or threats. So they're about recognising each person as a self-determining human being will decide what they will or won't do in any moment.
Yeah, it is tough, right? I mean, as you're talking, I'm thinking of the wide range of situations we might find ourselves in, and how we manage that conversation with a work colleague might be quite different from how we manage that conversation with someone at home.
Absolutely.
Or somebody who is a client of your organisation or a service user, yep. You know, so they, you know, we might have a different approach for each of those.
Because absolutely.
What we need to occur is kind of different a little bit too, but yep. Also understanding what our safety level is in each of those environments is yep. a little different as well, right?
Yeah, totally.
So, right, I had a situation last year just dealing with a member of the public, not from a work perspective, and they were very irrational in their thinking and trying to get them to settle down. They were wanting to complain about something, and it just didn't seem to matter what we tried to do. It was just this person just wouldn't sort of see the logic in sort of their demeanour, I suppose, and that they're sort of becoming more of a threat to our safety.
And I think that's an exact example, Roseanne, of what I was talking about someone who's defensive yes. isn't necessarily looking for a solution.
No.
So the more we empathise, the more we provide rational information.
And kind of rationalise their behaviour, make it feel more...
So those are those examples where limits become the option. How do I stop this conversation right now and send this person on their way?
Yeah, most definitely. That's was a very challenging situation.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And we're not used to being what we would consider rude to people either,
No,
we want to listen to people.
Yeah.
That's right. Hey, I think this is a good time for us just to take a little music break.
Yes.
And... I think, Holly, you're going to potentially just slip out of this podcast for a short time, or the session, I should say, for a short time. So Karen and I will carry on after the music break and talk a little bit more about maybe some of the key content that she has in her workshops that she does do around challenging situations. So, we thought we'd listen to a little bit of Juice Newton today.
I won't be blinded by the
And welcome back to Connect with Community Waikato on Free FM 89.0. You're listening to Roseanne and Karen. We did have Holly with us before the break, but she's just had to pop out of the studio. We were talking about challenging situations and which can happen within your workplace, maybe in a voluntary position or even at home. And so we thought we'll now just talk a little bit about some of the content that Karen presents in her workshops around challenging situations. So Karen, maybe if you just can give us a little bit of an overview of that.
Well, I guess I'll start off by telling you or talking to you about what I call the workshops, and what they're called is based on a kind of a name that was gifted by one of the kaumātua from an organisation here in Hamilton when I did training with them, and it's Whakatau Wairua Pukuriri, and what that actually talks about is settling the agitated spirit. But when he gave that name to me to use, he said, he talked about, you know, when you are working with a wild horse and you're wanting to domesticate that horse for riding. And he talked about the fact that you're actually trying to engage with the energy of that horse and develop a connection and a relationship with them and an influence over them. You're not trying to control and force the horse to comply. And I thought that that was a really great name, and that was a really great explanation. So at the heart of any of the de-escalation-focused workshops or the challenging situation workshops is the understanding that we can't make anybody do anything, that the only behaviour we can control is our own. And so a lot of the content is around recognising how we can behave or how we can act so that we have a greater likelihood of settling a situation that we're involved in. Does that that make sense to you, Roseanne?
Yeah,
no. It's a bit waffly.
No, totally makes sense to me. Yeah, no. Very
So it really is. So a lot of it is about understanding behaviour, and it's about understanding your own behaviour. As I said earlier, it's about recognising the emotions that sometimes sit behind things, because it is our emotions that drive our thoughts.
And on that, I think really good for you yourself, if you're in a situation where you've got someone who's very confrontational, to have that awareness of your own emotions and
Absolutely.
How you will react to that. Because the number of times that you probably go, oh, I probably could have handled that better.
Yeah. And I think there's, you know, when we are dealing with someone who's agitated, we are affected by their behaviour. And conversely, they are affected by our behaviour.
Yes.
So partly what we're trying to do is develop mechanisms or strategies to sort of come back in a situation where someone is escalating, is to counter that with behaviour and energy that is less agitated. So we want to come with kind of calming energy or calming emotions, because we recognise that we have an ability to influence the situation. So if someone's shouting at us, we might lower our voice ever so slightly. We definitely wouldn't. Our natural inclination would be to shout back or to match that energy with our own energy. So speaking more quietly and speaking calmly is a really simple way of impacting on that behaviour.
It's a very good tip there, and just reminds me of the situation that I got myself into last year. Very much around, you know, you feel like you want to sort of like, especially if you're defending someone, you know.
Yes, yourself.
Yeah, you feel like, you know, you want to come in guns blazing as such, I suppose, but it is about how you can just control your
Absolutely.
Emotions. And as you say, not mirror their behaviour or their emotions.
And recognise that it's a really strong pull for us to want to defend our own credibility or to defend our, you know, our who we are, and to get into a power struggle. Because oftentimes if we go towards those kinds of behaviours, that's what we end up doing.
Yeah, and, you know, the number of times that you hear people say, you know, you've got to fight fire with fire. As such, you know, so it's like, you know, if they're going to be like that, well, you know, you like that as well. And I also feel there's also that a little bit of a gender you know, element into this as well, you know, the male-female situation. I think at times, you know, females feel they have to sort of like talk louder or sort of, you know, use body language to sort of go, hey, look, I'm not going to just roll over and sort of take this.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah, it's an interesting dynamic, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And so a lot of what we focus on in these workshops is the things we can control. So looking at our own behaviour, trying to understand what's happening for someone and then and I don't say right because there's never one right way of doing things, but what is a helpful way to respond in that situation?
Do you also delve into sort of what triggers your emotions or anything like that?
So we do look a little bit at that. We spend a lot of time looking at communication, both non-verbal and verbal communication, because that's one of our significant tools in dealing with difficult situations. But yes, we can look at triggers, and actually our behaviour can become a trigger in and of itself, so it is important to understand that and to understand that a lot of the time the triggers are outside of our control, so they're not things that we directly have any ability to influence.
And just picking up on non-verbal, you know, communication, your body language, mm-hmm. that's vitally important, isn't
Absolutely.
It?
Yeah. It's only somewhere between 7 and 10% of the information we get in any exchange with another person comes from the words that they use.
Wow, that's amazing, isn't
it? The other 90 to 93% comes from things other than the words.
Right, so maybe that could be the tone of...
Yeah, so it comes from what we would call our paralanguage and paralinguistics, which is not what you say, it's how you say things. So absolutely tone, the volume we use, and the cadence or the rate and rhythm of our communication. So we want to have a nice, even, measured cadence so that reflects patience, I guess.
Yep. And then obviously, you know, the body language, you know, maybe yep. getting how close you get to someone's personal yep. space.
Absolutely. So body language and body movement and personal space is the third. So essentially kinesics, which is our movement and our facial expressions and body language, proxemics, which is how we use personal space, and the impact that that has on people, and then our paralinguistics or our paralanguage, how we say what we say.
Right. Very interesting conversation and topic we've got here today. And we've just got 3 minutes before
wow.
we do finish. Yeah, so probably just to finish this off, Karen, is, you know, if there are any sort of like top tips or key points that people who are listening to this show could maybe take away.
So my first tip would be to give someone your undivided attention. So when you're dealing with a person, don't be typing on your computer at the same time as you're trying to talk to them, making eye contact with someone else and trying to do two tasks at the same time. So giving people your undivided attention is a way of really demonstrating that you are interested in sorting out whatever's going on. And the second thing that I would say is focus on feelings as much as you focus on facts. So sometimes it's less important what the specific details of a situation are as to how a person's feeling about the situation. And the third and last thing I would say is it is absolutely worth investing in that relationship establishment or that rapport establishment, even if it's someone you've only just met, is taking that moment to... before something escalates, or even in our everyday interactions, how we connect in with people and make people feel welcome in the space or the conversation that we're having with them. So those would be my three tips, Roseanne.
Hey, those are awesome tips for our people to take away. And I know we were talking off air, you've got a Challenging Situations workshop that you're going to be running down in Taumaranui next month.
Yes.
We've got a series of workshops we're doing down there. But if any group is interested in a workshop with this topic, they could get hold of you.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So just probably just for those that are maybe just tuning in for the first time, your contact details if they would like to follow up with you.
So karen@communitywaikato.org.nz. So Community Waikato, all one word, lowercase.
And also too, you can go onto our Community Waikato website.
Absolutely.
Which is very similar, communitywaikato.org.nz, and look at the series of workshops that we have got coming up.
That's right. And I can't tell you off the top of my head a date because I'm not sure we've set one yet, but I will be offering a couple of workshops throughout this year, open to everybody who wants to come along.
Yeah, so. And look, Karen's a fantastic facilitator, and I'm sure that if you feel that this is something that you'd like to attend, it would definitely be well worth it for you, and potentially, you know, if you're from an organisation, your fellow staff members or board members or whoever it might be. All right. Well, thank you, Karen, for coming into the studio with me today. Really much appreciate that.
Thanks for having me, Rosie.
That's great. And we'll catch everyone again. Ka kite.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.